Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me, reacting to the Michigan football team's season opening 47-14 win over Western Michigan. Plenty to discuss. We'll try to keep it brief because we know you guys want to get on with your Saturdays, or I guess if you're listening Sunday, on with your Sundays as well. But get just kind of look at the key talking points, key discussion points, and kind of our thoughts on some of those things. So we can jump right into it. Of course, there'll be tons of post-game writing and coverage over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. Steve, I guess I'll just ask you, what was the most significant development, if you could pick one, the most significant thing that you saw Saturday, whether it surprised you, changed your opinion about something, or you know, kind of looking ahead to Washington, made you maybe take extra notice a little bit?
For me, it's got to be Blake Corum. What do you have, over 200 all-purpose yards?
212 all-purpose yards.
Right. The other, like, just looked more comfortable running the football. You know, it's like a lot of people there. I saw some, you know, and you see it throughout the game. It's, you know, people are very reactionary on, like, every play is like, can become an indictment on anybody, the guy calling the play, the guy running the play, whatever. You know, there's a lot of some grumbling about them using him between the tackles. No way. I mean, he had a different, we knew he has the burst. We know he has the speed. I know some had criticized last year, maybe a little, not enough vision, maybe not enough patience. That was not the issue today. He looked like a different back in a good way for Michigan. And really, we talk about Hassan Haskins, 13 carries for 70 yards, kind of did what he always does, gaining yardage, about as dependable a guy in a short yardage situation as you're going to find in college football, honestly. I mean, we've talked about the stats. A real synthesis today, and kind of what we had talked about heading into the season, what we were looking to see at running back with Haskins and Corum, kind of giving defenses a different thing to worry about. Really felt like both of those guys were incredibly effective. Even Donovan Edwards looked solid when he came in as well. You can see the flashes there that are going to make him eventually an impact player as well. So, you know, I thought I wanted to see Michigan run the football. They ran for 334 yards. They looked really effective doing it. Almost 8 yards a carry. You know, which obviously a couple of, you know, you had Henning and Wilson adding to that total significantly, but either
right.
way.
But that's why that stat is important. It's like a combination of your short yardage plays and your chunk plays.
I was going to say those runs still count. You know, they were able to set those plays up by effectively running the football between the tackles. So thought it was a great performance offensively in particular. Defensively, kind of almost I don't want to say it was like what it was with under Dom Brown, but gave up that early drive, which I feel like Michigan, it's kind of always seems to a little bit against an inferior opponent, but then buckled down, looked good the rest of the way, in my opinion. And but biggest takeaway for me, definitely Blake Corum. He's going to be a problem for defenses all season.
Yeah. And I think Corum, you know, I was thinking about this on the walk back from the stadium. I think what he represents is something that a lot of Michigan football, kind of the overarching theme of this game is I think they were able to turn I think blank or I believe blank into I know blank. So we heard all offseason, we reported it too. It's not, you know, honestly, frankly, we probably talked up Corum more than any publication, if I'm being blunt. But we didn't know. I mean, we had a pretty good feeling based on, you know, recruiting, what the intel within the program is, what's being said in press conferences, and just kind of watching Corum last season and then also in high school. You know, we talked up him, we talked up AJ Henning. We talked up, you know, David Ajabo. You know, obviously the increased role of Daxton Hill. But those are all thoughts and beliefs until they actually happen on the field. And so I think, you know, I think Corum obviously is like the big, I mean, that was my first takeaway in my story, was, okay, he can do that. You know, he can be a really dangerous player. So, yeah, I think he and several other players were able to transition hunches, beliefs, rumblings into stuff on the field. And that's not nothing. You know, there's a lot of – that didn't really happen last season. I don't even know who the biggest breakout player was for Michigan last fall. Could argue nobody, if you're being facetious. So, yeah, that's a great one. I think for me, I think the secondary really settled in. I really thought Vincent Gray had a great game. Didn't hear Jamon Green's name called. Probably meant he had a good game too. They just weren't throwing to him. And then I really like the disguise coverage potential that Daxton Hill presented. Now, you know, high major teams later on the schedule, they're going to kind of be aware of that and be able to work around that. But I mean, Western Michigan, they were just straight up confused. I think the one play that stands out to me is you know, Hill disguised blitz. And as soon as the quarterback looked back at the center, he like backed off and was ready for the pass. I believe it was in the flats, and it was a like 0 yard gain. So he offers some really unique potential just because teams are going to be kind of looking and they think they know what formation or what set Michigan's in, but Hill can play a lot of different roles. He's able to offer a lot. And then I thought, you know, there were a couple big chunk plays, but it did not feel like those were on the defensive backs. It felt like a couple of them were on the linebackers or just the, I guess the formation, maybe that's play calling. And then a couple I felt like were on the defensive line, not providing enough push, but I'm with you. They really settled in. I think they allowed 111 yards in the first quarter. In the second quarter, they allowed 23. In the third quarter, I think, before Michigan pulled its starters, it was at the same pace. I think they were averaging like 3.5 yards per play. You're going to win a lot of football games if you can adjust and settle in. Because you're right, that first drive, teams have been scripting that for weeks. You got to think Western Michigan was hoping to make a statement with that drive. And so, what happens after the first drive is important. And I felt like Michigan's defense did settle in. They gave up the touchdown at the end, like they almost always seem to do in games like this. But if all you're giving up is the scripted touchdown and then the throwaway touchdown when the game's out of reach, you know, you had a good day. So, yeah, I think those are probably the two main things that stuck out to me. Steve, what surprised you in this game? Was there anything, you know, because some of this we expected. 47-14 was maybe a higher margin than we expected, but more or less this game was kind of similar to what we expected. Anything really catch your eye that maybe you weren't expecting to see this week?
Not necessarily, not off the top of my head per se. There wasn't anything that like shocked me or wowed me. I mean, I thought this really, you know, I was a little surprised early on. I thought maybe Michigan would get a little bit more pressure early on up front defensively, but that was another area. When you talk about the defense kind of settling in, that was really where it kind of ended up. Now you talked, and rightfully so, because I thought the defensive backs played a little bit, maybe they played a little bit better than what I thought they would, just because, again, we talked earlier in the week about Western as a veteran QB, veteran backs. They did lose Eskridge, who was their best receiver, maybe their best player last year, but still brought back their top three receivers.
Well, more left the game pretty early. True.
Sorry,
too.
Sorry.
That didn't, but I agree with you.
Yeah. Right. Either way, though, this is one of the more veteran offenses, you know, that Michigan is going to play. So I thought that was significant. Also, and again, not maybe like a huge surprise, but Michigan yielded no quarterback hurries today, at least according to the official stats. And that's, I think, is a great sign going forward. Again, Western, if we're being honest, probably one of the two or three worst defenses they're probably going to play this season, I would think.
Got to be, yeah.
Statistically.
Yeah, I think so.
But still, again, we talked this year about the offensive line in particular having a lot of potential, a lot of depth, experience, and talent, but we hadn't seen it start to produce. You know, and I thought for the most part, I thought they did what they were supposed to do and really honestly might have played even maybe a little bit better than what I expected. So just on a play-by-play basis. The other thing was nice to see a quarterback who will step up in the pocket, light on their feet, and make some downfield throws. You know, that was one. I mean, that's one area Michigan feels like they've been lacking there for how long? Even go back to Shea Patterson. I mean, they would hit some downfield throws, but they would, for every one they'd hit, it feels like they'd miss three or four. And the deep ball looked a lot better today. McNamara just looked comfortable. You know, Michigan, it felt like for the first time in a while offensively that Michigan just, you don't make, as you're watching the game, you don't feel no tense. You know, everything feels crisp and comfortable. Now that starts with running the football. It makes it a lot easier for your quarterback when you can run the football, but still 9 for 11. Is the bell one-hander, is that considered an incompletion or is the penalty make it
a no? I think it's a no play.
Okay, that's what I thought. But despite how amazing that catch was, that was still a great throw. Now, again, probably not going to be caught. Most of the not many guys are ever going to make that catch, but it's still a great throw. So the downfield, the passes down the field were refreshing. And I think with the speed that Michigan has at receiver, could continue to bode well for them the rest of the schedule.
Yeah, I agree. I think one quiet surprise, just because I've covered enough of these games under Jim Harbaugh to maybe have this opinion, felt like they went to the bench earlier in this game than they have in years past. Felt like, I want to say it was mid-third quarter. You know, I started hearing guys like Junior Colson, guys like, Braden McGregor got in and got a tackle. On offense, we didn't just see J.J. McCarthy do the, like, five handoffs, take a knee, see you next week. Like, he actually got to throw. And obviously, one of his throws was very memorable. I don't know if the other ones were anything, especially amazing, but the 69-yard touchdown pass to Daylon Baldwin, I mean, that's important from a optics standpoint too. Not only does it help McCarthy kind of become comfortable at the college level, but that helps with recruiting. That helps generate buzz for the future. That helps get fans excited, and it helps McCarthy's confidence. You have a great theory that, you know, how a player does in their first game can really make a big difference in how the rest of their career goes. And so I think getting him serious run, you know, Donovan Edwards, I was a little surprised we didn't see him until it was backup time. But if that's where he's at compared to Corum and Haskins, it was good for Michigan to make sure he got six carries, make sure that he got at least one passing target. And yeah, I think on the defensive side, I mean, it's no secret, not a lot of proven depth on Michigan's defense. You're going to have to build it with, kind of games like this, games where, yeah, it looks like Junior Colson got a couple tackles. Looks like, I mean, you know, he got in way before, but like Mike Morris had actually a really good game. He had a really good opportunity. Rod Moore quietly had three tackles, and RJ Moten had five.
Rod Moore looked really good.
Yeah.
In his limited time. That's a guy to remember. Like, safety looks pretty good right now for Michigan. Cause you just mentioned Moten. The safety play felt like better from top to bottom than it has in a few years for Michigan today. No doubt about it.
So I guess the broader point is, if you want depth and you want guys to step up sooner and not be like thrust into the wild, it's in games like this. And I think Harbaugh has always been a little hesitant to put the backups in. And I think when backups do come in, they're not always put in a situation where they're like go make some plays, go score a touchdown, go, you know, do this, do that. So that was a slight surprise to me. Switching to the negative of the game, I think this one's pretty obvious. Ronnie Bell's injury, we don't have an update other than they're doing an MRI tonight. Harbaugh wouldn't even say if it was knee or ankle. That's obviously just a huge blow, you know, and it's an extra stings extra that it was on punt returns, because obviously that you know generates the debate. I feel like fans always have the debate: should your star players be on special teams? Michigan too has always said yes. You know, Jabril Peppers was on special teams. Donovan Peoples-Jones was. A couple of the other names are escaping me, but yeah, I think, you know, it's just really unfortunate. Obviously, he was having a phenomenal game before that. But any moving from that, because I don't think there's too much more for us to say about that. Any other things that were negatives for Michigan? I mean, it wasn't a perfect game. Felt pretty complete. I mean, it did not feel like a game where it wasn't like some blowouts. There's a little bit of hemming and hawing. Didn't feel like this was that kind of game, but anything that might get overlooked in terms of potential negatives or areas that definitely need to be improved in your eyes?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I thought Josh Ross had an up and down game. It felt like Western Michigan went right back to what teams did last year and kind of went after him in the coverage situation. I know there are a couple plays that looked like zone. It was kind of hard to tell on the replay. You know, either Hill Green or Ross made a couple of mistakes. There was a two or three play series where a couple passes that looked like the linebackers were a little bit out of sync. Couple stretches too where Western had some success running the football right up the middle. You know, I don't know how many times we heard Mozzie Smith's name today or Donovan Jeter's. You know, you can correct me there. I just don't feel like we really heard their names very often.
They each had one tackle, right? And Smith had two quarterback hurries, so right. he
some impact then,
had
right?
some coverage work. But you're right, in the run game, I don't think either of them are going to grade out great in run defense
right.
for this game.
So I think that was one thing where, especially that's one thing going into next week, because Wisconsin's offensive line is massive. They're going to be a different beast as far as running the football goes. So that's one area I think Michigan is going to have their work cut out for them. Again, being a little picky here, because again, after that first drive, it felt like Michigan really buckled down across the board. So, you know, but as far as a negative thing, I'm trying to think, special teams were okay. Offensively, kind of hard to really find anything. There were a couple some questionable play call. I didn't like the how they finished the first half. Thought that was and again, I don't know who's the one making the decisions there, but you know, you have a chance to score another touchdown. I think you either throw a pass on second down, or you know, I'm trying to remember how it the exact sequence, but did not think that. I think they had a timeout, and they did what too many teams do too often, is they just they hold on to that timeout until they absolutely like have no choice but to use it. You know, it's like I think there was about 20 seconds left. So I remember thinking the clock management was a little iffy at the end of the first half. In my opinion, I thought they should have, like I said, should have maybe thrown the ball on one of those plays instead of running it twice, running the clock down on fourth down and taking the timeout and kicking the field goal. So, but again, nitpicky, not a perfect game, but there weren't really any massive glaring issues or errors on first watch.
And if there were issues, it seemed like they were better later on in the game. Like I think for me, the third down defense, that was a huge problem for Michigan last season. I don't know off the top of my head what they ranked. It was not good. It was not good at all. And so, and that's, to me, that's a lot mental, and it's also a lot schematic. Is, you know, you can't give up that many third downs. And so Western Michigan, they completed 3 passes on third down in their first 3 third down attempts. And I think they were all for double digits. And so I think there was a little bit of a cause for concern for that, but then they completed just, or converted on, I think it was just 5 of their next 14. So they got better at it, but that is something that, you know, could Washington make Michigan pay a little bit more if their third down defense is lagging. So that'd be one thing. Yeah, I mean, the special teams, they got to find a new punter or punt returner. Sorry. I mean, Caden Colasar, I know he's a special teams ace. I know Jim Harbaugh really likes him. I think he's in there because they're worried other players are going to make mistakes. If I'm being blunt, they have faster players. They have more elusive players. They have players who are better threats to score. And I think that was evident that Colasar, I mean, he let a couple go behind him, even if they weren't going to be for touchbacks. So it's not a dig on him. I just think, like, feels like this week should be a week where Corum or Henning or some of these other players are getting some opportunity. Yeah, but really not a ton of negatives. They won by 33, and they could have won by 60 if they had wanted to. So, you know, if you're finding negatives there, you're probably overthinking. All right, last thing, looking ahead, I'm not sure the best way to phrase this question, but Washington, you know, I don't think we've seen them play yet. But did this game change your opinion of that matchup, of that game? Is there anything that you think Michigan really has to kind of focus in on or really hone in on this week in practice? Just looking ahead, what does this game change in your mind?
Not a ton necessarily, right? I mean, it's the first game of the season is always kind of a wild card. You know, we watched Penn State and Wisconsin play today, and it's like, you know, two top 25 level teams. Like, what, you know, does it, you know, does Penn State beating Wisconsin mean that, is Penn State on their way to 10 wins, or is Wisconsin stink? Like, you never really know coming out of the game. Right. For Michigan, the crispness on offense, I think, is a good sign. You know, there weren't really any major miscommunications, no real just snafus. Like, things looked, the operational side of things, I guess the best way to say, looked to be in peak form in the first game of the season. Whereas in the past, we've seen Michigan, like, just kind of weird, dumb mistakes and just like play clock, like just the knowing the play. There's just a lot of things where it's like, kind of like, what the hell are they thinking? Like, what are they doing? There wasn't really any of that. And I think it lends credence to what we'd kind of maybe heard about McNamara, about the accountability, you know, because I, again, the coaches can only do so much. The players still have to do it on the field. So like I said, I think McNamara is a looks like a potentially a really good leader for these guys, and is somebody I think that can maybe carry Michigan to better than what the pundits think. Again, we're not watching this game, seeing Michigan dominate a MAC team, saying, "Oh, they're going to win 10 or 11 games now." You know, I don't think it's changed anything about a season prediction or anything like
right.
that. But I think particularly offensively, I think Michigan fans should be encouraged in that it felt like they utilized their variety of guys. Like, because, you know, we've rattled off the 40 times. We've rattled off the recruiting stats on some of these guys and thought, you know, like this, there's no excuse for this offense not to produce. And it felt like today you can see where that could potentially go. That's like, you know, you, I think I felt like you watch them today. You think, okay, they could really put some points up against a quality defense this year. You know, if they continue to play mistake-free football, because they do, even with Ronnie Bell out now. And again, we'll see where that is. It didn't look good, but you know, we don't know yet. Even with that, you get AJ Henning steps in, 76-yard touchdown, Roman Wilson, 43-yard run. Again, those obvious-ish play designs aren't going to work against the top quality teams they're going to play, but I think we saw the athleticism of Michigan's offense on better display than we've seen against inferior teams in the past. And so I think that's one takeaway. If you're a Michigan fan, I think you can maybe at least maybe have some optimism about what this offense is capable of this season.
Yeah, I think ultimately this game just proves a little bit of what Michigan's been saying. They have to prove it every week. But yeah, I think two things stand out to me. Don't have a ton to say about either of them, but I think one, it felt very back to normal. And I don't mean that in like necessarily the COVID sense, although it's totally different having 109,000 fans in the stands than I guess zero last year. And then, you know, it just felt like the energy, because when we walked to the press conferences, we can kind of see what the players and the families, you know, because that's where they meet kind of on our walk there. And it just seemed like very much, I just got a lot of 2018, 2019 vibes, which I got to think Michigan fans would take those. So I think that the energy, the camaraderie and everything. And they made a game that should have been a blowout look like a blowout, which is not something that they did last season. So on the field, it looked a little bit more normal as well. The offensive line did its job. You know, there weren't major fundamental flaws at any position group. You know, there might be little nitpicky things, but there isn't like some glaring weakness. Yeah. And then the other thing that stood out, and it might have gone overlooked in the press conference, but I thought it was really interesting. You know, Cade McNamara, he might get reined in a little bit with his media. He's very honest and says kind of what he thinks. Maybe that works for Michigan. I've seen the movie before where a guy's really honest until he's told to maybe share a little less. But he said, unprompted, that Jim Harbaugh has been more hands-on coaching the players this year. And I think that's something I'm going to keep in the back of my mind. I might not write about it yet, just because I think anything after week one is just after week one. But there had been talk in the past couple years about, you know, Harbaugh handing over the offense, being a little bit more of a CEO type role. And you know, I get real tired about like Harbaugh seems different this year. He seems like he has higher energy. I'm not pitching that, but I do wonder if he has kind of not retaken the reins, but has really re-ramped up his approach to coaching. You know, I think it's been mentioned a few times, in the best shape of his life. He does seem a little bit more animated when talking about players than maybe in past years. And so, again, we only get to see little bits of pieces of, you know, what he says in the press conference and stuff. But that's something I'm keeping an eye on, because it seemed like that got snuck in there and it might've been swept under the rug just a little bit, but you know, that was something that was mentioned in like 2016. That was a thing that I mean, he almost was too hands-on sometimes. You know, he was coaching positions he's never coached in his life, and just but like, he was just that engaged and that involved. So just a small little thing I'm keeping an eye on. Steve, anything else you want to discuss or mention?
No, just feel really horrible for Ronnie Bell.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of really a guy that it was interesting, like shortly before he got injured, just the way he plays is such a very leadership style of playing, if that makes any sense to anybody. All effort, intense, you know, just all the good, I think all the things that a coach and a, you know, a unit would hope for out of a guy like him, it just really stinks. You know, we'll see what I assume we'll learn tomorrow, and the MRI is tonight, but I assume we'll have some maybe tomorrow, or maybe we'll have to wait until a media availability on Monday to learn what his status is. But just football aside, just hope that he's going to be all right, and that, you know, it's nothing too serious for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I don't have anything to say that you didn't say. I'm in that awkward spot where I feel like I have to say something else, but honestly, I feel the same way. You know, he's very emblematic of the team. I've heard players talk about him. He honestly might be the most respected player on the entire team. And that's not hyperbolic because of the situation. If you'd asked me before the game, I probably would have said the same thing. So, I guess we'll see what happens. You know, Jim Harbaugh after the game, I think he said, you know, this is not the end for him. He'll be back. You know, he's too driven not to. So, anyway, with that, we'll wrap up this episode, get back to writing about this game. Be sure to check out all those stories at themichiganinsider.com, michigan.247sports.com. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. Hope you had fun. Hope you learned something. We'll see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.